This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Landlords fight to resume pandemic evictions. I'm David Brancaccio. First, let's address how retail sales can rise for five straight months in the midst of a pandemic. This morning, the September numbers came in higher than expected, with sales up 1.9%. Meanwhile, more than 20 million people are drawing unemployment benefits after layoffs. This K-shaped recovery, with one leg up for people who are still working and the leg downward for those feeling the brunt of this, is in contrast to the pattern of the last recession, where so many jobs at the higher end of the income scale were especially hard hit. Christopher Lowe has been looking at this. He's chief economist at FHN Financial in New York, and he joins us many a Friday. Welcome, Chris.
Good morning, David.
You've been looking at big differences between who is getting hit hardest by this recession compared to the mess 2008-2009.
That's right. You know, in 2008-2009, the damage was massive, but the damage primarily fell on the highest paid workers in the economy. When you look at the end of the recession, the beginning of the recovery, if you divide workers by how much they get paid, it was the top quintile that bore almost all the job losses, more than 5 million of them unemployed after 2.5 years. In contrast, if you look at the numbers now, employment, of course, has been growing for some months, but it's the lowest paid workers who are being left behind and are still unemployed. At the moment, the bottom two quintiles account for something like 80% of the job losses.
But none of this is an excuse not to pay attention to the people at the lower end of the income scale who are suffering.
Well, that's right. And, you know, I was trying to figure out how to express that when I realized someone else already has. Carmen Reinhart, who is the chief economist at the World Bank, talked about it yesterday, because it turns out what we see in the U.S. is evident globally. And as a result, in countries where the majority of workers are at the lower end of the global scale, they are being left way behind as well. And what Reinhart said was, this is a crisis that is not of their making. We have to find a way to get them out from under debt so they can restart their economies again. Essentially, we have to take care of those in need. And here in the U.S., it's the same story. The economy's coming back faster than anybody expected, but there are people in serious trouble. And if we don't take care of them, if they start defaulting on debt, well, it's debt default that transforms a run-of-the-mill recession into something far more intractable. We saw it 10 years ago. It took forever to climb out of that one. We don't want to repeat the experience this time.
I'm glad we caught up. Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FHN Financial. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
Stock in the pharmaceutical company Pfizer is up 1.8% in early trading here, with word it might be able to apply for permission for emergency use of its COVID-19 vaccine as early as next month, November. Developing a vaccine is a vast challenge. Distributing it to the world and deciding who gets it early versus later is another vast challenge. All our coverage of that is accumulating under the banner Fast Track at marketplace.org. The Dow is up in early trading, 162 points, 0.5%. I see the S&P 500 up 0.3%, the NASDAQ up 0.4%, the 10-year Treasury yield down 0.73%. In lieu of debate last night, it was the simultaneous town hall discussions with President Trump in Miami and former Vice President Biden in Philadelphia. The pandemic was front and center at both, but the economy was seldom far away, Marketplace's Jasmine Garst reports.
Candidates were asked questions about the ongoing pandemic and the economic crisis. Vice President Joe Biden said there should be a national pandemic response. He criticized President Trump's plan as being too focused on Wall Street.
He didn't do that. He didn't talk about what needed to be done because he kept worrying, in my view, about the stock market. He worried if he talked about how bad this could be unless we took these precautionary actions, then, in fact, the market would go down. And his barometer of success to the economy is the market.
Last night, President Trump promised a vaccine is on the way and said the economy is, quote, rounding the corner.
We were just hitting 160 million jobs. Companies are pouring into our nation because of the tax rate. And if Biden comes in and raises taxes on everybody, including middle income taxes, which he wants to do, you will blow this thing and you'll end up with a depression the likes of which you've never had.
Taxes are a major bone of contention between the candidates. Vice President Biden said he would raise corporate taxes and taxes on the wealthy. I'm Jasmine Garst for Marketplace.
Some property owners around the country are suing the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The federal agency ordered an emergency ban on evictions in cases where tenants are unable to pay rent. The CDC says evictions amid COVID are a public health risk, but landlords say the moratorium puts their livelihoods at risk. Stephanie Stokes has this story from WABE in Atlanta.
Sonia Jones produces chicken eggs on her farm in southeast Georgia. As she's earned money over the past 20 years, she's invested in rental properties, more than a dozen of them.
When you work by yourself, you don't really have retirement. So that's what I'm trying to do, just build that up so that I will have something.
But recently, a tenant in one of those properties kept falling behind on her monthly $450 rent. And when Jones tried to evict the tenant in court, she learned the CDC has halted residential evictions for now.
What right do they have to tell me I can't have my own property?
Now Jones is part of a lawsuit with other landlords from around the country. It says the CDC doesn't have the right to interfere with local eviction laws. The CDC order places landlords in an impossible position, says Robert Pinniger. He's president of the National Apartment Association, another plaintiff in the case.
And the industry is trying to work as much as possible with residents to be able to help them bridge this gap. But with every passing month, it is a challenge.
He says landlords may not be able to survive. They have mortgages. The government has to help. The amount of missed rent this year could total $34 billion nationwide, according to a report by the National Council of State Housing Agencies. Eric Dunn with the National Housing Law Project agrees that landlords need financial help. Still, he says challenging the eviction moratorium is the wrong move.
There's no constitutional right to evict tenants.
The government can prohibit evictions, Dunn says, as long as there's a rational basis. And when there's a pandemic?
Well, then absolutely, there's a rational basis to curb these sort of things.
And this is the CDC's argument. It says evictions could hurt measures to control the spread of COVID-19. The moratorium could last until December 31st. I'm Stephanie Stokes for Marketplace.
And New Jersey's Governor Phil Murphy yesterday ordered electric, gas, and water companies in that state to keep customers connected through March now, with pandemic 440,000 residential customers, 43,000 businesses are more than 3 months late on utility bills. For today's developments in our business, economics, markets, and money beat, listen for my colleague, Kai Rizdahl, host of Marketplace on many public radio stations or marketplace.org. I'm David Brancaccia with the Morning Report from APM. American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.